Good evening, everybody. Brian Newbert here from GoldenBlack.com. By the sound of that turn signal, you know what we're doing here. I'm in my car, leaving Mackey Arena. My notebook just fell off the dashboard. Leaving Mackey Arena following Purdue's 93-50 home debut win over the University of Oakland, or Oakland University, my bad. You know the deal here. Just do a quick little podcast after these games while I drive home. So I'm in my car. Once again, a new season is upon us. My car smells exactly the same as it did at the end of last season because I've barely used it. This is your Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast brought to you by Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the East End Grill, the Charters Team Remax Ability Plus, JFQ Lending, and Gridiron Metalworks, gridironmetal.com. I called them today, but don't tell my wife about that because she's not supposed to know. Gift. Anyway, Purdue beats Oakland 93-50. 93 is a hell of a lot of points. Purdue, you know, was pretty good offensively. That's the biggest thing from this game. To do this without Eric Hunter and Jaden Ivey and with Travion Williams still not shooting the sort of percentage you expect Travion Williams to shoot, I think really speaks to this team's potential offensively. Purdue, I don't know what they shot from three. They shot over 50%. My notebook just fell off the dashboard. I can't look at my box score. 17 of 32 rings a bell. I think they were 17 of 32. Sasha Stefanovic made six of them. I think Brandon Newman made four of them. Both guys shot very well. Purdue collectively shot very well. Even the walk-ons who came in at the end made shots. But it wasn't just a matter of making shots. It was a matter of getting shots and taking the right shots. And I think in that sense, Purdue's passing and Purdue's poise and Purdue's decision-making in that regard really stood out as something a little bit atypical of a team that is pretty young and hasn't played a whole lot together. Purdue didn't rush a whole lot of shots. There were distinct moments where it was clear that a Brandon Newman or somebody like that passed up a shot that they might have taken in high school that they probably could have made, but it would have been a good shot for them, but the extra pass would have made it a great shot for somebody else. Purdue's doing that stuff already, and that was one of the hallmarks of those really, really experienced and really skilled teams Purdue had a couple years ago with the Dakota Mathiases and Ryan Kleins and Carson Edwards and P.J. Thompson and all the rest. And for Purdue to, you know, be showing glimpses of basketball IQ and savvy and unselfishness like that already, you know, I think really speaks to this team's, you know, offensive potential. You know, they got to get Travion Williams going in terms of his efficiency. I think he was 4 of 12 or 4 of 13 or whatever it was today. He's shooting probably a little bit south of 40% for the season. Obviously not what he has in mind, not what Purdue has in mind. That will even out. History tells us when good players take good shots and do so over a long period of time, things tend to even out. Travion Williams is too good an offensive player and too much of a physical matchup problem for everyone to be a sub 40% shooter from the floor. So I wouldn't necessarily hit the panic button on Travion Williams after three games, but obviously Purdue would like to see him, you know, be a little bit more efficient. But that's kind of where Purdue was offensively against Oakland. You know, this was their first taste of zone this season, and sometimes I've seen teams with young players before look at zone like they're trying to pick a safe with a spork. And this was a team that looked like it knew what it was doing. It obviously was well prepared, but it also is just made up of smart enough basketball players to not flip out when they don't see what they're comfortable with. And, Purdue just did a really good job beating everything Oakland, you know, threw at it. I thought from a defensive perspective, you know, Purdue's got some work to do here this season, but obviously can't complain with a game you win by 43 points or however many points they won it by. I thought Purdue forced more turnovers than the box score said it actually did. I thought Oakland really, really turned the ball over a lot, but maybe that wasn't reality as much as I thought it was. But Purdue, I thought, did a good enough job defensively. We'll see what happens when the competition gets better. I do think this was a pretty, really hard to, you know, ask for a whole lot more from a first game than what Purdue just did, because, you know, Purdue, this was their first time also playing in Mackey Arena without fans, and this must have felt like an entirely different world for the guys who were used to playing in Mackey Arena. And maybe a little bit of a letdown for the guys who've never played in Mackey Arena, because when they committed to Purdue, when they were recruited by Purdue, I'm sure they knew what Mackey Arena was all about. Some of them got to attend games at Purdue, actually saw it for themselves, and were really looking forward to it. And they didn't get that opportunity. And, you know, it didn't look like it fazed Purdue at all, because the way Sasha Stefanovic shot the ball out of the gate, the way Brandon Newman shot the ball out of the gate, all of that stuff looked like it was a Purdue team with that crowd at its back. Obviously, it wasn't. It speaks well that Purdue didn't come out and, you know, kind of fall all over itself for a couple minutes without the support that it normally gets from those fans, which can matter a lot more for a young team as opposed to an old team, because it just is. It's just the nature of the fragility of youth, where when you got people cheering for you, you tend to be better. When you have people booing you, you tend to be worse. That's just the reality of human beings. So just a really good all-around performance, I think, from Purdue. Not a complete performance necessarily. Once Travion Williams gets going, I think we can call, you know, things a little bit more complete in a situation like this. But to do this without Eric Hunter, to do this without Jaden Ivey, and to do this with Ethan Morton still, you know, three games removed from mono, you know, is a pretty big deal, I think. It's a pretty impressive sort of thing. The competition will obviously get better. Oakland is a good program, though, and it's been really tested here. They just took Michigan to overtime before coming to Purdue. Now they're going to Oklahoma State and Michigan State. They do not mess around. They play the world, and typically they're, you know, pretty well off because of it. They didn't get to practice for the season. That's a real problem, but they did play Xavier. They have played some big-time games, and they were getting better coming into this game. So I don't think this was necessarily Purdue rolling over, you know, a JV team as much as people might look at Oakland University and think that it's that way. But this was a solid win for Purdue, kind of no other way to put it. So I'm gonna on that note, wrap this up, and thank everybody for listening. We'll talk to you again Friday night after Purdue plays, I think, Indiana State. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Appreciate it, as always. This has been your Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast, brought to you by Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the East End Grill, Charters Team Remax Ability Plus, JFQ Lending, and GridironMetal.com. Please check them out. Thanks, everybody.